So today I've taken a passage from the book of 1 Samuel in the Bible. Which will just come out here on the slides as well. This is a passage about God and King Saul, the relationship between both of them. And this passage is about Saul's career as a king. And this talk basically looks at parallels between Saul's career as a king and our careers, our places at work. So I'll just run through this passage here. I'll just read it out for all of us here. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 7 to 23. Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made King Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." So the passage here, I've broken into two parts. First, on what is God's plans for our work, and second is what is our plans for our work instead. So to just give more context, like you see, there are a couple of characters here, Saul and Samuel, and there are more details around two countries, Israel and the Amalekites. So just to give more context on the passage, I'll just quickly introduce who Saul and who King Saul are, who Samuel and King Saul are. So Samuel mentioned in the passage is a prophet, very similar to priests in these days. Samuel was a very devout man. He was very close to God's heart. And in those days, in the Old Testament, God used to talk to his people through prophets, prophets such as Samuel. Saul here is a king which was chosen by God over his people, which here is Israel. And it's seen in preceding passages, in this passage as well, and preceding passages, that God had selected Saul or chosen Saul as king over his people. And God had anointed Saul to rule over his people. And God had chosen Saul from a very simple background. He was one of the least known tribes in Israel, and within the tribe itself, he was one of the least known sub-tribes in Israel. And God chose Saul from a very humble, simple background to place him as a king. He chose him and anointed him as a king. And which is also seen in one of the questions that Saul asks, one of the questions that Saul asks Samuel once he's selected as king, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me? As in, why would you want to place me as a king over all these people? And through the rest of the book, this book of the Bible, we see that Saul was anointed and gifted and blessed with the presence of God. And he was given success really fast. He was made successful. He was given a lot of wisdom. And he was blessed with a lot of fame, with God's grace, with God's anointing. And what I saw as parallel here is, like Saul, all of us have been placed in different places of work, have been placed in different situations of life, being blessed by God, being given grace, wisdom, strength, and all the giftings to be where we are today. And just as God did with Saul, he gives us strength to fulfill our roles at work. Now, prior to this passage, now we'll come back to this passage, and prior to this passage, there's more texts in this book, in the Bible, where God has given Saul the command to destroy the Amalekites. So why God gave that command to destroy the Amalekites is a talk by itself, so I won't touch upon that. I'll just go directly to what Saul's response was to this command God gave Saul. So one of the verses here in this passage reads, "But Saul and the army," this is after God gave him the command, "but Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, and everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy it completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed." What we see here is, God had asked Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites. But what Saul does instead, he doesn't follow the full commandment God gave him. He disobeys God here. And he disobeys God in two things here. One, Saul spares Agag, their king. Probably, you see that later God is not happy with what Saul did. And probably what would have happened here is, Saul may have struck a deal with Agag, which may have benefited Saul separately. Second thing that we see here is, Saul does not destroy everything Amalekites owned. He kept the best of sheep and cattle and fat calves and lambs and everything else that was purely good. He kept it for himself and does not follow God, or he disobeys God. And Saul heard God's plans but went ahead and did what his own needs were, what his own plans were, what his own desires were. And the parallel that we see here is, just like Saul, we often turn away from God's plans, the direction God gives us, and including the direction that God gives us at our work, and we make these plans about us. So we turn away from God when we glorify ourselves instead of giving glory to God and serving our own needs. And we turn away from God when we place our lives at work at a higher pedestal than God. Let's look at some of the other verses in the Bible, the role that God has given us at work. Titus 3 says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone." Now that is a lot of impossible things to do in one verse. There's another verse which says, "Live good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God." Reading these verses, we see that God asks us to glorify Him by being obedient to rulers and authorities, doing whatever is good, slandering no one, being peaceable and considerate, being gentle towards everyone. And in all of these, living good lives so that others would see these good deeds in us and glorify God. We all are made in God's image. And in that, in our good deeds, people would see God's image, would see God and glorify God. But what do we do instead? We know this is what we have to do, or this is what God is asking us to do to glorify Him among people around us. But what we do instead, I'll tell you some of my struggles, which would be similar to what a lot of us would be experiencing here. The verses ask us to be obedient to our rulers and authorities. But I often struggle to obey my boss when I see his recommendations on business plans or structural changes which would not benefit me, which would benefit someone else, which would be, maybe it'll be a blessing for the company, but it's harmful for me and my place in the organization. I'm not obedient to my boss when I don't stick to my deadlines that he gives me. The verse here says, do things that are good. But I often struggle, I keep myself from helping someone who I don't like. I am often hypocritical when I tell others to do things that I myself don't do, or tell others to don't do things that I myself do. And I'm often bad-mouthing people I don't like in my team, or people I don't like in other teams. I play politics at work when I put up people, or I cheer for those who cheer for me or I like. The verse here says that be peaceful where you are. And I often see that I pick up fights. I blame others when I am to blame, fully or partially. I'm not considerate to others when I point out someone's weak areas instead of helping them through it. I'm impatient with people. I fail to celebrate someone else's success, especially when it comes at my cost. So in all of these, we see that we turn away from God's purposes to our own purposes, and we turn away from glorifying God to glorifying our own images, glorifying our own needs. And in this, like how we saw with Saul, we are very similar to Saul, listening and agreeing to God's plans, listening to God's way that He's given us, but ultimately walking our own ways. And like Saul, we place our image, our work, our lives at work at a higher pedestal than God Himself. Let's look at what else Saul does here. Verse 12 in this passage reads, "Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, 'Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor.'" So though our lives are to honor God, though Saul's life was to honor God, he built a monument for himself. And our lives aren't any different either. Just like Saul, who set up a monument for himself, we are constantly building our own monument at work. We focus on our growth. We focus on how other people perceive us. We focus on how our bosses perceive us. We focus on how our super bosses perceive us. We focus on our results versus results of someone else in our team, results of someone else in some other team. We put all our energies, all our creativity to build our image, put us on a higher pedestal and create a monument for ourselves. And we place our work, our lives, at a higher pedestal than God Himself. In this passage, verse 21, we see Saul said, the soldiers took sheep. After Samuel pointed this out to Saul, Saul responds saying, the soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to Lord your God. Here we see that Saul deceives himself by saying the plunder that he captured, things that he kept for himself, were actually to glorify God, was actually for God. And here what I also see is, just like Saul, we self-deceivingly call our plans about God. I personally put a lot of goals for myself. 3 years, 5 years later, where I want to be, what I want to... I put myself in places and positions, and then self-deceivingly call those plans to glorify God. But what we often do, what we often in our hearts, the places that we are in our hearts is where Saul was. All of these plans are actually for us and not to glorify God. The following verse talks about what God's response to Saul through Samuel was to what he did. And the passage reads, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." In verse 22, God responds to Saul's self-deceiving claim of keeping the best of cattle to make sacrifices to God. And God here responds to that saying, he would delight in Saul's obedience. He delights in our obedience more than the sacrifices that we claim to make to God. In verse 23, we see Saul gets rejected as a result by God. Because Saul sought his own needs, desires, and his own glory. And this rejection by God becomes very painful for Saul. And as seen in subsequent passages, Saul is rejected by his people. God picks someone else as a king in place of Saul. God rejects him. All his people reject him. And the rest of his life, Saul lives in pain and rejection. And towards the end, he kills himself by his own sword. We see that we are no different from Saul either. We are mired in our own needs, desires, seeking our glory. And in God's own words from verse 23, since we've rejected the word of God, since we've rejected God's plans, we deserve to be rejected and plucked out, just like Saul was from the place God had given him. We deserve to be rejected, and there was no hope for Saul. Similarly, we deserve no hope either, because of our focus on our plans, because of our placing of work on a higher pedestal than God himself. But we were given a secret door to salvation. We were given a hope. Hundreds of years later, after Saul, God sent his son, Jesus, so that we who have no hope to save ourselves from our God, our Creator's wrath and rejection, would find grace and freedom. If you look at these verses talk about Lord delighting in those who obey, in obedience. We saw that Jesus obeyed. Jesus was the perfect son God could ever have. He was pure, he was holy, he was obedient. Yet he gave himself up as a sacrifice. We reject God's plans for us every day. We reject God's words every day. But God, instead of rejecting us like Saul, he chose to reject his son for our sins, for our placing of our plans on a higher pedestal than God's. And like Saul, we build our monuments every day. But what Christ did was, in spite of him having that higher place as God's son, in spite of having a shining monument for himself, being that shining monument, he destroyed that completely, and the only monument he created was the cross, so that we would be saved, so that we would be glorified. Experiencing and believing in this grace is what can help us overcome the Saul in our lives, is what can help us place God's plans ahead of our own plans. Experiencing this grace will give us the power to change and be more like Christ. And experiencing and believing in this grace is possible only through daily time, daily looking at this Christ, daily looking at what Christ did for us at the cross. Unless we do that, it's very hard for all of us to move into that Saul's mindset, become Saul and put our work, our plans, our glory over and above God's own glory. So I'll encourage all of us, as I end this, I'll encourage all of us to we do something called CBR, where we read the word together, chapter by chapter every day, where we see this Christ, where we see God's love spread out on this cross for us. And I'd encourage all of us to look at this cross so that we can overcome what our souls in us. Second, look at what God's plans are for us. Look at how the definition God has for us, the purposes God has for us. So I'll ask the band to come up and lead us with a song. And as we do that, I'll just pray with all of you. Yeah. God, we want to worship you, O Father, for you've placed us where we are, Lord. You've blessed us with all the good things, O Father, for you've called us your children, Lord. Lord, in spite of this, Lord, we've placed what you've given us on a higher pedestal than you, Lord. We've forgotten our Creator. We've forgotten the plans and purposes you have for us, O Father, and focused on our own plans, Lord. Lord, we want to worship you. We want to thank you, O Father, for redeeming us from this sin, O Father, from the sin of not obeying you, Lord, from the sin of sacrificing you, O Father, and focusing on our plans, Lord. I pray that you would help each one of us look at you, O Father. Look at what you've done for us at the cross, Lord. I pray that you would help us through this cross see your plans for us, see your deep and abounding love and grace for us, Lord. Thank you, Father. We ask this in your name, Lord.